If you're thinking that you're directing your life and you got to resolve all these conflicts and you got to take care of all your enemies, that's no way to live. Let God deal with them. Let God deal with the Sauls and the Nabals of your life. Because friend, they're coming. But how you deal with them tells a lot about you and your heart.
Welcome to Cross the Bridge with David McGee, the senior pastor of The Bridge in Kernersville, North Carolina. One of David McGee's assisting pastors is here today to help us through this teaching. Pastor Neil, welcome to the program.
Bob, great to be here with you today. Looking forward to just jumping into God's Word as we continue verse by verse. And today, Pastor David's going to be talking about trusting God with everything. And so some of these terms, uncertainty, future, children, family, these are all things at times we don't trust God with. But we got to trust God with everything, right, Bob?
Well, we're told that in Scriptures to simply trust God. When we first come to Jesus and receive Him as our Savior, we trust that He'll forgive our sins. And then I think He has to reveal to us areas in our lives where we don't have that trust, and then He teaches us how trustworthy He really is.
That's a great thing you said there, Bob. If we trust Him with our salvation, we should trust Him with all those other things. Let's listen in as Pastor David talks about trusting God with everything.
1 Samuel chapter 25. It's an awesome chapter, and to kind of give you the context, you know, David's on the run from Saul. David has been anointed to be king, but he's not walking in the position of king yet. Saul is still king. Saul's hunting him down, trying to kill him. And in the midst of his wanderings and running from Saul, God continues to do a really awesome and deep work in the heart and in the life of David. And it's just an awesome thing to be able to get a glimpse into a man like David, a man that the Bible says is a man after God's own heart. And David made some mistakes and whatnot, but the Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. So let's jump in. 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 1. It says, "Then Samuel died, and the Israelites gathered together and lamented for him and buried him at his home in Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. Now there was a man in Maon whose business was in Carmel. And the man was very rich. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. And he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. The name of the man was Nabal. And the name of his wife Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and beautiful appearance. But the man was harsh and evil in his doings. He was of the house of Caleb." Verse 4, "When David heard in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep, David sent 10 young men, and David said to the young men, 'Go up to Carmel, go to Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thou shalt say to him who lives in prosperity, peace be to you, peace to your house, and peace to all that you have. Now I've heard that you have shearers. Your shepherds were with us, and we did not hurt them, nor was there anything missing from them all the while they were in Carmel. Ask your young men, and they will tell you. Therefore, let my young men find favor in your eyes, for we come on a feast day. Please get whatever comes to your hand to your servants and to your son David.' So when David's young men came, they spoke to Nabal according to all these words in the name of David and waited. Then Nabal answered David's servants and said, 'Who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants nowadays who break away each from his own master.'" Verse 11, "Shall I then take my bread and my water and my meat that I have killed for my shearers and give it to men when I do not know where they are from?" So David's young men turned on their heels and went back, and they came and told him all these words. Then David said to his men, "Every man gird on his sword." Now one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, "Look, David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, and he reviled them. So greet our master." This guy works for Nabal. Okay, and he's going to Abigail, Nabal's wife, and you know, kind of helped oversee the house. And then he goes on, verse 15, says, "But the men were very good to us, and we were not hurt, nor did we miss anything as long as we accompanied them when we were in the fields. They were a wall to us, both by night and day, all the time we were with them keeping the sheep." Verse 17, "Now therefore, no one consider what you will do. For harm is determined against our master and against all his household. For he is such a scoundrel that one cannot speak to him." Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 sheep already dressed, 5 seahs of roasted grain, 100 clusters of raisins, and 200 cakes of figs, and loaded them on donkeys. And she said to her servants, "Go on before me. See, I am coming after you." But she did not tell her husband Nabal. Verse 20, "So it was as she rode on the donkey that she went down under cover of the hill, and there were David and his men coming down towards her. And she met them." So they're coming down to wipe everybody out. And Abigail, through this whole plan of God, comes and meets them. Verse 21, "Now David had said, 'Surely in vain I've protected all that this fellow has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that belongs to him, and he has repaid me evil for good. May God do so and more also to the enemies of David, if I leave one male of all who belong to him by morning light.'" Verse 23, "Now when Abigail saw David, she dismounted quickly from the donkey, fell on her face before David, and bowed to the ground. So she fell at his feet and said, 'On me, my Lord, on me let this iniquity be. And please let your maidservant speak in your ears and hear the words of your maidservant. Please let not my Lord regard this scoundrel Nabal. For as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name and folly is with him. But I, your maidservant, did not see the young men of my Lord whom you sent.'" Verse 26, "Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, since the Lord has held you back from coming to bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own hand, now then, let your enemies and those who seek harm from my Lord be as Nabal. And now this present, which your maidservant has brought to my Lord, let it be given to the young men who follow my Lord. Please forgive the trespass of your maidservant. For the Lord will certainly make for my Lord an enduring house, because my Lord fights the battles of the Lord, and evil is not found in you throughout your days. Yet a man has risen to pursue you and seek your life. But the life of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of the living with the Lord your God. And the lives of your enemies he shall sling out as from the pocket of a sling." Verse 30, "And it shall come to pass when the Lord has done for my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you and has appointed you ruler over Israel, that this will be no grief to you, nor offense of heart to my Lord, either that you have shed blood without cause or that my Lord has avenged himself. But when the Lord has dealt well with my Lord, then remember your maidservant." Then David said to Abigail, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel who sent you this day to meet me. And blessed is your advice, and blessed are you, because you have kept me this day from coming to bloodshed and from avenging myself with my own hand." Look at that. He doesn't say, "Oh, you're just a woman. What do you know?" He says, "Blessed is your advice." Verse 34, "For indeed as the Lord God of Israel lives, who has kept me back from hurting you, unless you had hurried and come to me to meet me, surely by morning light no males would have been left in the ball." So David received from her hand what she had brought him and said to her, "Go up in peace to your house. See, I've heeded your voice and respected your person." David's a smart guy. He's a godly guy. He was wrong. And he says, "You know what? I'm not doing this." What an awesome attribute that he's able to say, "You know what? I'm wrong. I'm not doing this." Proverbs chapter 29, verse 8 says, "Mockers can get a whole town agitated, but those who are wise will calm anger." Boy, I reread these verses a few times today. Got so convicted. Because I realize sometimes I try to, pick spiritual fights. I need to be careful. Jesus talked about the peacemakers. And a lot of times we enter into a situation and we see if we can stir something up more. That's no gift. That doesn't take anything. But to come into a situation where somebody is freaked out, somebody is excited, somebody is hurt, and to say, "Hey, whoa, calm down for a second." That's a gift from God. Verse 36. "Now Abigail went to Nabal, and there he was holding a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunk. And therefore she told him nothing, little or much, until morning light." Again, showing her wisdom. At verse 37, "So it was in the morning, when the wine had gone from Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became like a stone. Then it happened after about 10 days that the Lord struck Nabal, and he died." Nabal, I guess, had a stroke from the description. Lived for about 10 more days, and then he died. And I wonder if Nabal ever really figured out how he had messed up. either before the stroke or during those 10 days. The sad tragedy of humanity is that some people will realize that they've messed up before it's too late. Some people will not realize it until it's too late. That's the next life lesson. Some people will not realize their mistakes until it is too late. That's a sad fact. Some people will not realize their mistakes until it is too late. You understand, everyone will meet Jesus. Everyone will know that Jesus is the Son of God. Everyone will know that Jesus is the Messiah who died for the sins of the world. Everybody's going to know that. The question is when. That's the question. Will you meet Him as your Savior here in this life? Or will you wait until it's too late? After you die. So the only question in all of humanity is when somebody will come to this realization. Let me offer scripture so we're all on the same page. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 through 11 says this. Therefore, God also has highly exalted Him, speaking of Jesus, and given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And what we see in the book of Revelation is that come to pass. Everybody's going to realize Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Son of God. Remember this when you're talking to somebody about Jesus and who Jesus is, that we tell them from a place, if you will, of victory. Everybody's going to realize it. In our conversations with other people, what we're wanting them to do is to realize it here and now, not later when it's too late. See, if they reject Jesus in this life, they don't have a hope. They don't have a future. These are sad facts. They have no rock to support them in this life. Nabal had a lot of stuff, and he died. I wonder how many people in here are envious of Nabal tonight. I know I'm not. I feel sad for Nabal as I look at the tragedy of his life and the way he ended up.
Thank you for listening to David McGee with Cross the Bridge Ministries. David's heart is to help you beyond our radio program. We will continue teaching the Word of God and bringing hope through the power of the Scriptures. We know that these are unusual times, so we want to share with you many of our online tools. Please check out youareloved.org to take advantage of these free resources. Our daily devotional has a helpful reading plan, thoughts from the Scripture, and practical life lessons to help encourage you. On youareloved.org, you can find full-length teachings from Pastor David and his assisting pastors. Maybe you are not able to attend services at your local church right now. Visit youareloved.org so you can join us live on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern and Thursday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Again, these are free resources to help you anytime, day or night, during these difficult times. Now, back to David McGee.
Never be envious of what an unbeliever has. I don't care if they got billions and billions of dollars. It doesn't matter. They don't have Jesus. And that's sad. They may have all sorts of things, but they don't have Jesus. And when you realize that, when that starts to really sink in your heart and your mind, it's a lot easier not to throw stones at them. If you're in here tonight and you know Jesus as your Savior, an unbeliever does not have what you have. Is it any wonder that they do the things they do? And yet, incredibly, Christians walk around always talking about what unbelievers are doing. I can't believe it. You see that show? Golly. They're an unbeliever. Why should that shock you? They don't know my Jesus. They don't know your Jesus. Why should we be surprised at how they act? I was ministering in San Diego years ago, across from Balboa Park at a church. And they had just done a raid in Balboa Park, and they busted people over there selling kids for sex as young as 8 years old. That's what they do. They're unbelievers. What shocks me is people that call themselves by the name of Jesus and don't follow Him and don't act like Him. That's what still shocks me this day. This is what our Jesus did and said. Matthew 9:35. It says, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Verse 36, but when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. That's one of the reasons I talk about servant. Why? Because there's so much to do. There's so many people you've yet to know, and we need to be busy telling them. And that's why there's an expectation, if you come here for very long, that you begin serving. And if you're not serving, I'm sorry, you're not getting it yet. Pray that one day you do. And we are so thankful for those people that are getting it and that serve here. Moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. There's a, on the way to church, there's a little pond there. There's a goose there that just makes me so sad because he's just one goose. And he walks around a lot like he's looking for the other geese. And I don't know what happened. A goose is not meant to be by himself. He's meant to be in a flock. I don't know if you understand the dynamics of it, but you know, when the geese are flying in a flock and they do that V thing, you understand what's going on? Is the one that's in the head is doing the most of the work. And the ones that are behind them are kind of flowing on those wind currents. And then they exchange and somebody else gets in front because the one in front gets worn out. So geese obviously had some type of engineering training that they know to do that. No, God gave them that knowledge. They know to do that. Do you know geese are smarter than people sometimes? You understand we're meant to flock together? But occasionally, one of us acts like we're not supposed to and thinks, oh, I can do this on my own. I can pull it off on my own. Good luck, buddy. Everybody I've ever talked to that tried it on their own doesn't work. I've had people go, well, I think you worship God more outside the church. My question is, how's it going? And usually they look down, not so well. Not so well. Jesus looked at this multitude, and he was able to see them as sheep without shepherds. Can you look at unbelievers like that? If you can't, you need to come to grips with that tonight. Your heart needs to change. Do you understand the only difference between myself and an unbeliever is really a short, simple prayer? At the heart of the difference, that's it. So how can I be arrogant about this short, simple prayer? Nabal lived a bad life, and he apparently died. He was a fool. He was a closed fool. You know what? You're going to have Nabals in your life. You're going to have Sauls in your life. How you deal with them will tell a lot about you, not them. It'll tell a lot about you. Don't be shocked when people around you act like Nabals or act like Sauls, especially if they're unbelievers. I read this thing, Psalm 23 Undone. It's kind of the opposite of Psalm 23. I want to read it to you. It says, I have no shepherd. I want and am in need. I have no one to feed me in green pastures. I have no rest. I have no one to lead me to quiet waters. I am thirsty. I have no one to guide me in the right ways. I don't know where to turn. As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, evil surrounds me. I'm terribly afraid, for no one is with me to comfort me. I have no feast prepared for me. I am overwhelmed by my enemies. No one anoints my wounds or fills my cup. My cup is empty. All the days of my life are filled with disappointment and deceit. I have no home in eternity. Will I dwell in an evil house forever? That's the life of an unbeliever. Maybe it describes some people here tonight. You can know the Good Shepherd. Maybe you know Jesus and you've been trying to direct your own life. Man, how frustrating that can be. Rest and walk in his leadership. And see, here's the thing. And I never want to be a church that's arrogant about being a believer. The world is filled with them. We can't ever do that. See, here's the thing. If you believe in Jesus, this life, with all its good and its bad, with its pain and its joy, with its pleasure and its suffering, this life is the worst you will ever know because heaven awaits you. But for the unbeliever, this life, with its good and its bad, its pleasures and its pain, it's the best that it'll ever be. Won't get any better than this. So how can we ever look at the life of an unbeliever and think, oh, they got so many things, or they got so much money, or they got this, or that, and that. No, it's a sad thing. Yeah, they got that for a few years, and then what? And then everything changes. How can we be angry at unbelievers? How can we be shocked at unbelievers. How can we be prideful or hate them? They're sheep without a shepherd. That's what they are. And I think David understood that about Nabal. And I think he understood that about Saul too. And I think that's part of what changed his life and his heart. Verse 39. So when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Blessed be the Lord who has pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal and has kept his servant from evil. For the Lord has returned the wickedness of Nabal on his own head." And David sent and proposed to Abigail to take her as his wife. When the servants of David had come to Abigail at Carmel, they spoke to her saying, "David sent us to you to ask you to become his wife." Then she arose, bowed her face to the earth and said, "Here is your maidservant, a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord." So Abigail rose in haste, rode on a donkey, attended by five of her maidens, and she followed the messengers of David and became his wife. In verse 43, David also took Ahinoam of Jezreel, and so both of them were his wives. Don't say God approved of that. It says that's what he did. We'll talk more about that later. Verse 44, but Saul had given Michal, his daughter, David's wife, to Palti, the son of Laish, who was from Galim. The death of Nabal, some people probably celebrated. This chapter opened up talking about the death of Samuel that people mourned. How do you want to die? How should you live? Nabal was a close fool. He lacked wisdom. Do you have wisdom tonight? God has been speaking to you through his word tonight. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 7 says this, "For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and only fools despise wisdom and discipline." And James chapter 1 verse 5 gives us this promise. It says, "Is any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." So Saul is continuing in his treachery and his meanness. David is continuing in his kindness and his love. God continues to bless David. God continues to withhold blessing from Saul. Let me ask you a question. Which do you want to be? Which do you want to be? You want to be Nabal? You want to be Saul? And David did not attack Nabal. David did not attack Saul. And because David was willing to let God deal with the conflict, God blessed that. And notice it was just a few short days later. Now, God doesn't always come through in just a few short days, but God always comes through. But if you're thinking that you're directing your life and you got to resolve all these conflicts and you got to take care of all your enemies, that's no way to live. Let God deal with them. Let God deal with the Sauls and the Nabals of your life. Because friend, they're coming. They'll be there. Some of you have them in your life right now. But how you deal with them tells a lot about you and your heart, or how you don't deal with them. You have that decision to miss out on a blessing or to receive a blessing. The life lesson here, last one, trust God with everything. Trust God with everything. Trust him with your enemies. Trust him with your friends. Trust him with your life. Trust him with your finances. What if David hadn't, if he had killed Nabal, he'd have been guilty of murder. But just a few days later, God sorted out the whole situation. Wait on the Lord. God will sort it all out in the end, friend. But wait on the Lord. God will bring peace and justice. But until that day, know that that day's coming. See, David discovered an awesome truth. He discovered he didn't have to deal with the Sauls and the Nabals in his life. He knew that he could trust God to do that. Can you trust God with that? Because if you can, you're going to find more freedom in this life than you ever imagined. And if you can't, friend, you're going to crack under that burden. That's the reality of it. If we can get this into our heads and our hearts, it'll change our lives. We'll live lives of peace and negotiation, and we won't be like Sauls and Nabals. We'll be more like David. See, because if you focus on the Sauls and the Nabals in your life, you're going to end up like them. If you focus on the Lord, you'll start to walk more like him. You'll start to talk more like him. The choice is yours. I mean, it's real clear. But what will you choose?
Friend, do you know for sure that your sins have been forgiven? You can know right now. I want to lead you in a short, simple prayer, simply telling God you're sorry and asking him to help you to live for him. Now, God wants you to pray this prayer so much that he died to give you the opportunity and the ability to ask him to forgive you. Please pray this prayer with me out loud right now. Dear Jesus, I believe you died for me that I could be forgiven. And I believe you were raised from the dead that I could have a new life. And I've done wrong things. I have sinned. And I'm sorry. Please forgive me of all those things. Please give me the power to live for you all of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, according to the Bible, you've been forgiven, you've been born again. Jesus said he would not turn anybody away who comes to him, and he came for those people who knew they needed forgiveness, those who were sick, not the righteous. So congratulations, friend, you just made the greatest decision that you will ever make. God bless you.
If you prayed that prayer with David for the first time, we'd love to hear from you. You can visit crossthebridge.com to receive our First Steps package with helpful resources to help you begin your walk with Christ. You can also write to Cross the Bridge at P.O. Box 12515, Winston-Salem, North Carolina 27117, and share how God is working in your life. Before we go, have you been listening to the teachings through the book of 1 Samuel? We've handpicked some of these teachings that will encourage your prayer life. Pastor Neil, can you tell us more?
Yeah, Bob, we all hunger for a deeper connection with the Lord. And Pastor David shares through past living examples how to have that deeper connection. So when you give a gift today, we're going to send you, for your generosity, praying through 1 Samuel. It's a 4-CD series that will encourage you in a deeper relationship with the Lord.
And as you step out on faith and give a gift to Cross the Bridge today, we will send this in appreciation for your generosity. Again, please visit crossthebridge.com to give today and get your copy of Praying Through 1 Samuel.
We would also like to encourage you to grab Pastor David's daily devotional. Each day you can wake up with encouragement from Pastor David through the Word of God with this email devotional. Life lessons to consider, a daily reading plan, and a thought to meditate on throughout your day from the heart of David McGee.
Hey, and it's easy and it's free. You can just sign up today on crossthebridge.com. Well, folks, thanks for listening and tune in next time as David McGee continues teaching verse by verse through 1 Samuel.